Welcome back. I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. 400 redevelopment agencies in the state of California are expected to shut down tomorrow. In late December, the California Supreme Court upheld legislation that ended the 60-year-old program that was designed to combat urban blight and improve poor communities. The massive multi-billion-dollar program is expected to dissolve tomorrow. California Governor Jerry Brown says the state can no longer afford such an expensive program. He says the money would be better spent on things like schools, police, and fire protection. Redevelopment agencies received 12% of all property tax revenue in the state. That money built affordable housing, senior and community centers, libraries, roads, parking garages, and plazas. And now those funds will be returned to the state. So what does that mean exactly? Well, Seamus Roller of Housing California says shutting down redevelopment agencies is a huge blow for anyone in California that struggles to pay rent or lives in unsafe conditions. And Seamus will join us later in the show. So today on Your Call, we are talking about what redevelopment agencies have accomplished, what will happen when they dissolve, and what comes next. Carlos Martinez is director of the East Palo Alto Redevelopment Agency, and his job is now in limbo. And Carlos joins me here in studio. Hi, Carlos. Thank you for coming in.
Hi. Pleasure to be here.
And we're also joined by Emily Harrison. Emily is Deputy County Executive for Santa Clara County. Emily is in charge of coordinating the implementation of AB 26, the dissolution of redevelopment agencies in the county. Santa Clara County was a party to the California Supreme Court case, which upheld legislation to dissolve redevelopment agencies. And Emily joins us from Santa Clara County. Hi, Emily. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
So why don't we first start off by talking about some basics here, because a number of people really didn't know much about redevelopment agencies until they heard that they have been ordered to shut down. So, Carlos, why don't you talk to us about the overall goal of redevelopment agencies? Why were they formed?
The overall goal of redevelopment agencies is, in a nutshell, to abate blight. Redevelopment agencies are formed in areas that are dilapidated in general. There is a formal definition, a legal definition for blight. And the goal of redevelopment agencies is to basically borrow money by issuing bonds, investing in those areas that are dilapidated. Once those areas that were dilapidated start improving, then those areas start generating revenue, and with that revenue, the bonds that were borrowed were repaid. It's very similar to a business that you go and rent, improve a space that is vacant, is empty, or that perhaps has crime problems, and you go in, you clean it up, start generating revenue, and with that revenue that that place is generating, then you repay your lease and the money that you borrowed in order to make those improvements. That's a basic principle of redevelopment.
Can you give us a clear example? What was redeveloped in East Palo Alto?
In the case of East Palo Alto has three redevelopment areas. I will give you specifically one case. The city of East Palo Alto had an area that was referred to as Whiskey Gulch, and it was really a burden for the city. It was full of crime. It had many structures that were dilapidated, and most of the police resources and limited city resources were focused into abating the problems that came from that area. Redevelopment borrow money in the market by issuing bonds, invested in that area, improved the infrastructure, attracted a Four Seasons hotel and built a 400,000 square feet of Class A office space. That area now is generating substantial amount of tax increment, and with that revenue, now the city is repaying those bonds. And as a result of it, we have jobs. We not only construction jobs that were created, but also we have a safe area, and we have a number of businesses that are generating revenue in terms of sales tax, in terms of TOT, transient occupancy tax, that support many of the city's services.
And what is it like right now for you at work? How are you preparing to dissolve?
We're, of course, fulfilling all the legal obligations to prepare for the dissolution. And it is it's going to be a very difficult time for city council members to decide how to implement all the plans that for the last 2 years we have been working on. We were working for the last 2 years or so in creating the specific plan for the Ravenswood, which is a transit-oriented development plan and an environmental impact report that has been completed and is out. This specific plan embraces the desires of the community to create a center, a city center for East Palo Alto that is pedestrian-oriented, a place where you can work, a place where you can live, play, and includes many acres of open space. And all that vision, all those expectations are in limbo now with the dissolution of redevelopment agency.
Carlos Martinez is a director of the East Palo Alto Redevelopment Agency, and Emily Harrison is deputy county executive for Santa Clara County. Santa Clara County was one of the most vocal supporters of dissolving the redevelopment agencies. And before we get into that, Emily, would you just talk to us a little bit about the overall goal of redevelopment agencies and why they were formed some 60 years ago?
Well, I actually think Carlos did a good job of sort of tracing the history of why redevelopment agencies were originally formed, which really was to address blight in communities. I think over time, we've lost sight of that goal in many cases. And in fact, the dollars that have been taken away from agencies like schools or counties have gone more towards subsidizing, in many cases, private development as opposed to necessarily trying to bring communities up the scale in terms of development. So that was one of our major concerns. In Santa Clara County, we're responsible for the safety net that takes care of our most vulnerable citizens, and losing 12% of our revenue to the redevelopment agencies is a major factor in our inability in many cases to take care of our responsibilities. But really the big winners on this reallocation that will occur are the schools. And in fact, in our particular county, I think we're looking at about $150 million that will be going back to the schools to support the basic educational needs of our community. So whatever the original intent, noble as it was, of redevelopment was, I think the time has come to really look at instead building our communities through our children.
So it looks like obviously the money is the sticking point here. So let's talk about the money and how it was issued. How much are we talking about, Emily? How much goes into redevelopment agencies?
I think we're looking at about $5.5 billion that goes off the top in the property tax statewide. So in our particular county, that's probably more like $300 million that will be over time, not immediately, but over time, reallocated back to basic government services and schools.
And how can we be sure that that money will go back to schools?
The law is very clear that there is a that we go back to the original allocation of the percentage of the property tax that predated all of this this activity. There's no discretion on anybody's part. We have to go back to giving the schools their basically 50% of the property tax dollar.
So one of your main complaints in Santa Clara County is that a lot of the redevelopment money went to subsidize private development.
Very much so. And that's not across the board. And I think probably some of the most egregious misuses of redevelopment dollars didn't happen in our county, but the law allowed them to happen, and I think it's time that that law sunset. I do want to say, because I do think that there continues to be a need, especially to support affordable housing in our state, that Santa Clara County is very much committed to working with our cities on model legislation that can provide both tools and a program for affordable housing and economic development that doesn't rely on the basic government dollars that go to services and schools.
Yeah, and we'll definitely address that later in the show. We'll also be joined by Seamus Roller, who's with Housing California. So, Carlos, what are your thoughts on this? You've been with the East Palo Alto Redevelopment Agency for a decade. What do you think about Emily's comments about concerns over money being used to subsidize private developers?
Redevelopment in general occurs in communities, as I said, that are poor and in sites that are fragmented. There's usually small parcels. It's parcels that have contamination problems, either with arsenic, heavy metals, or and so forth. And I'll give you, as an example, the case of the Ravenswood Business District. That's an area that we have been planning for the last 2 years that I mentioned earlier. No private investment occurs in those areas. That area, the Ravenswood Business District, has approximately $75 million of infrastructure needs in order to improve the sewer lines, the water lines, the storm drain, to allow that area to have the higher and better uses that the community envisions. And again, that is a blighted area. No private investment is going to occur if that doesn't happen. If those improvements are not made, and those were the types of improvements, those are usually the types of improvements that redevelopment agencies do. The specific plan contemplates about 30 acres of new open space. That's 200% of the existing open space in East Palo Alto. It contemplates the creation of approximately 5,000 jobs, a pedestrian-oriented a new civic center for East Palo Alto. And if that is subsidizing private development, well, what it's really doing is doing infill development. Otherwise, I think Emily is right. Private development would go and develop somewhere else and not in inner minority communities that where private investment doesn't occur. Most likely we'd go out to the hinterlands and we would continue seeing the expansion and moving away from city centers into suburbia. And most likely that is what is going to happen. Most likely that's what is going to happen with the dissolution of redevelopment agencies.
You have talked about the high poverty rate, the high murder rate in East Palo Alto. You've said that East Palo Alto is the poster child for the success of redevelopment. What happens now that your agency has to dissolve tomorrow?
We will have to figure out how to finance those improvements. It's not only the loss of redevelopment agency resources, it's also the potential loss of grants that have been already secure from the federal government that we need to provide a match for. And now redevelopment is not there to provide those resources. So that funding is not sure where it's going to come from. The city of East Palo Alto, its residents, and specifically the city council, is very resilient and determined to make this happen. And in one way or the other, I am sure that this community will continue improving as it has done for the last decade. It simply got very, very, very difficult, much more difficult.
Well, I'd love to hear listeners on this. What are your thoughts about redevelopment agencies shutting down tomorrow? We're talking about 400 redevelopment agencies in the state of California, $5.5 billion. These are the agencies that are in charge of improving urban blight, improving poor communities. They did everything from building affordable housing to libraries, senior and community centers. If you're involved in redevelopment, we'd love to hear from you. If you work for the city, regardless of your opinion on this, we'd love to hear from you. And if your city community was really affected by redevelopment, what did you see? What kinds of changes did you see? And what will happen now that these agencies are going away? 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. What do you think about the argument that this money would be better spent on schools, things like police and fire protection. Emily Harrison, Deputy County Executive for Santa Clara County, says that in her county, the winners will be the schools. So what do you think about that? 866-798-8255. Also, if you're not familiar with redevelopment and you have any questions about how it worked, we'd love to hear from you. You can leave a comment on our new website, yourcallradio.org. You can also email us, feedback@yourcallradio.org. So, Emily, hearing Carlos talk about the improvements that he saw in his decade with the East Palo Alto Redevelopment Agency, what are your thoughts on, you know, an area like East Palo Alto and what it gained from redevelopment?
Well, certainly East Palo Alto is not in Santa Clara County, but I am very much familiar with it, and I think it was communities like East Palo Alto that were the original intent of redevelopment law. But in Santa Clara County, we have cities like Cupertino, which is the international home of Apple Computer. We have the city of Sunnyvale. We have the city of Santa Clara. And it's very difficult to make a case that, in fact, taking those monies away from basic services in schools to fund things like the Fairmont Hotel in downtown San Jose are really appropriate for today and our economic environment. I mean, we all know that the school day is being reduced because there just aren't funds and teachers are bringing their own dollars in to pay for school supplies. I think we just need to reallocate the money back to basic services. And I do think that in Carlos's case and in the case of the East Palo Alto, we have to remain committed to providing communities that truly have the need for economic development with the tools. And there are other things in the law besides redevelopment and the siphoning of property taxes that could address that.
Carlos?
Something that Emily said, whether or not redevelopment or taxpayers' dollars can be used to subsidize the Fairmont Hotel. Well, in East Palo Alto, we have a Four Seasons Hotel. And if it hadn't been for redevelopment, that Four Seasons Hotel wouldn't be there. And it's not exactly that the redevelopment agency took taxpayers' dollars. Remember how redevelopment works. In that area, what existed before was a blighted area where there was a lot of crime, a lot of drug dealing, and it was a burden not only for East Palo Alto, but for the entire region. Now, what the redevelopment agency did was to borrow money in the market. This is not money, this is not taxpayers' money. These are investors that can buy bonds, invested in that area, made the necessary improvements to attract that type of development. And then, because now you don't have the dilapidated buildings, now because you have a 400,000 square foot building of Class A office space, and because you have a Four Seasons Hotel, that revenue, that area is generating a lot of revenue. And as a result of that development, a portion of that tax increment, of that increment in tax that is being collected, goes to schools and goes to a number of districts, including the fire district, the mosquito abatement district, and other districts that do also benefit from pass-through payments. So it's not exactly that the redevelopment is taking tax dollars from, it's not taking tax dollars to pay for these things. It's the market. It's basically people that buy bonds, and we do pay an interest in these bonds. And as I said before, it's like a business that borrows money and invests it and generates revenue. Another loser in this is all the previous legislation that was passed, is AB 32 and SB 375, that aims at reducing greenhouse gas emissions. Without infill development, most likely those things are not going to happen. Most likely, again, development will occur in the outside, in the outskirts, but not in the inner cities.
And we'll talk about what happens to projects that are maybe halfway completed, what happens to these projects left in limbo. But we have full lines. I want to take a few calls before we get to break. Let's hear from Tom in Oakland. Hi, Tom. Welcome to the show. Hi, Tom. Sorry about that, Tom. Let's go to Philip in Oakland. Hi, Philip.
Yeah, hey, good morning. I'm not an expert in this, but not too long ago, our city councilwoman proposed redeveloping the upper part of Broadway. And we rejected that, at least at the meeting I was at, because all they were going to give us were street trees and facilities. There was no money in anything. They were going to take the money away, and it was just a subsidy for the private developers to develop on Broadway and other streets like that. But there was no money in there for firefighters, police, schools, librarians. And so, you know, this money is taken for 40-some-odd years away from the community, and it just seemed like a big ripoff. And, you know, you look around Oakland, there are certain areas where they bought the lie. They got the street trees, but the neighborhood's still completely run down. And I don't understand. It seems like a great thing to bring the money back to schools. So, and wasn't the Fillmore once redeveloped? Wasn't that like the beginning of redevelopment? So those are just a question and my comments, and thank you so much.
Yeah, well, all right. Thank you for the call, Tom. And we're going to get a few more calls, and then we will get responses. Let's hear from...
If I may?
Oh, sure.
I wanted to respond to Tom's comment.
Sure.
Most recently...
Oh, that was Philip, sorry.
Philip.
Yeah, go ahead.
Most recently, the New York Times named Oakland one of the 45 places to go in 2012. And the Times focused on the downtown nightlife scene, mentioning the Fox Theater, Cummings, Hooker Fair, Plum, and Newcomer Haven as venues that are making Oakland attractive. The Fox Theater was redeveloped by the governor, by using redevelopment funds. So these are the types of improvements that redevelopment does to improve facilities, to attract new development. All the affordable housing and the 10,000 units that Jerry Brown implemented in Oakland, that was done using redevelopment funds. Redevelopment can be effective. I agree with Emily that it, in some cases has been abused. But there are always, everything can be abused, but let's not throw the baby with the bathwater.
If I might just add.
Sure.
The Oakland City of Oakland has struggled with providing basic safety services, and we've seen some of that very colorful in the papers. General funds, city general funds, are also going to have their basic property tax dollars returned to them as a result of the reallocation after the redevelopment agencies are dissolved. And I think we can all agree that Oakland, we all like to see Oakland come back. But I think having basic police and fire services down there is at least as important as the Fox Theater.
All right. Well, thank you for the call, Philip. And we are going to take just a quick break. And when we come back, we'll get to more of your calls. We're joined today by Harrison, Deputy County Executive for Santa Clara County. Santa Clara County was a party to the California Supreme Court case that upheld legislation to dissolve redevelopment agencies. Carlos Martinez is director of the East Palo Alto Redevelopment Agency. He's been there for 10 years, and his job is now in limbo. Today is the last day of the life of 400 development agencies in the state of California. They have been told to dissolve by tomorrow. So today we're talking about what that means. What have they accomplished? Why were they formed? We'd love to hear from you if you've seen changes in your neighborhood because of redevelopment, or if you're like Philip and maybe disagreed with a project. We would love to hear from you. You can email us feedback@yourcallradio.org. We'll be back after this. And I'm taking just a short break to ask you to support KALW, an independent local radio. If you've been listening, you know that by now we are not cutting into programming. Right now you usually hear Joe Burke talk about what's coming up later tonight, but instead we are keeping with the content. We had such a great response, and I was on the air with Joe this morning. We had an incredible morning. We are on our way to our goal, 800-525-9917. 800-525-9917. 1-800-273-8117. We probably have less than about 38,000 or 37,000 to go, so we're almost there. We can only do it with your support, and thank you. We had so many people calling and going online to KALW.org this morning. A lot of new members, a lot of people renewing their membership. Thank you so much for keeping independent public radio strong. 800-525-9917 or online at KALW.org. Your support allows us to have a very different conversation, one that goes more in depth and one that really also values what you have to say. You bring so much to the show. People from Oakland and San Francisco and Belmont in the North Bay and the East Bay, that's why we're here, is to have a conversation, to create community, and to find out what's happening in our own backyards, and to also talk about what's going on at the state level and the national level and international. 800-525-9917. 100% of this show is funded by you. Keep us independent and corporate free. 800-525-9917. We have just about a day to go, so let's get there, and we are almost there to our goal. Less than $37,000 to go. 800-525-9917. You can also go online to KALW.org. Thanks for supporting independent radio. This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. You can find more information at yourcallradio.org. You can leave a comment there. You can also email feedback at yourcallradio.org and sign up for our newsletter to find out what's coming up. Tomorrow, Holly Kernan will have a conversation about what's actually working in schools. We have so many budget cuts. There's a heated debate about education reform. Tomorrow, we'll step back and talk about what's working. Smaller class sizes, more support for teachers, what is actually working in your school. And then on Thursday, we will have a conversation about what went down in Oakland over the weekend, Occupy Oakland. There have been a number of really interesting essays written about the overall goal of what's happening, the violence, the police brutality. So we will open the lines on Thursday, and we'd love to hear from you. And if you have a show idea or a guest idea, feedback at yourcallradio.org. Today, we are talking about redevelopment agencies. 400 redevelopment agencies in California are slated to shut down tomorrow. In December, the California Supreme Court upheld legislation that ended the 60-year-old program that was designed to combat urban blight. So if you are working in redevelopment, if you're a city employee, we'd love to hear from you. If you live in a community that's been affected by redevelopment, the toll-free number is 866-798-8255. You can also leave a comment at yourcallradio.org. Carlos Martinez is director of the East Palo Alto Redevelopment Agency. His job has been is now in limbo. He's been there for a decade. Emily Harrison is deputy county executive for Santa Clara County. They were a party to the case that upheld legislation to dissolve the redevelopment agencies. And now I would like to welcome Seamus Roller to the show. Seamus is executive director of Housing California. Hi, Seamus. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So what are your thoughts on the demise of redevelopment agencies in California?
Well, you know, I think coming from a radio show in the Bay Area, everybody knows somebody who is struggling to pay their rent or works a couple of jobs just to make those really high rents in the Bay Area. And redevelopment has been the largest state and local source for affordable housing in California. And the end of redevelopment agencies means, you know, a huge loss to anybody who needs a safe and affordable home.
And so what does this mean for affordable housing?
Well, you know, since about the mid-70s, 20% of redevelopment tax increment has gone to affordable housing. What that means right now is about $1 billion a year that goes into, you know, to serving, making sure that people have a safe place to call home, into affordable housing development, into, you know, helping seniors who need a new roof and might otherwise lose their home, a whole bunch of different services, but especially serving the most vulnerable people in California.
And we're also joined today by Emily Harrison. She's a deputy county executive for Santa Clara County. And she says that the money will be better served going to the schools, and cities can draw up legislation that could deal with affordable housing. What do you think about that argument?
Well, I think one of the things about redevelopment is that the economic development part of it has always been incentive for some of those places that perhaps wouldn't do the right thing anyways. And so you have a lot of different jurisdictions that maybe don't want to provide provide housing to lower income people, that have basically excluded those people who are, you know, who are struggling economically from their communities. And redevelopment was that incentive, you know, along with the 80% that goes to economic development, you have to put 20% of that money aside for affordable housing. And, you know, I think in all of this, you know, I have my own concerns about how some of redevelopment money was used, but I think, you know, certainly pitting these, you know, pitting education and other public services against housing or against, I think, a real need to improve cities is problematic. And, you know, we're in this place because of a real need for tax reform in California and a need to address some of the underlying fiscal issues going on.
I couldn't agree with Seamus more. I really, I think, certainly I do want to say that both the county and the city of San Jose, which is about 50% of our county, have been committed to low and moderate income housing for a long time and have a premier program. But the system is broken, and taking from one to give to another is what California has been doing for far too long. So taking redevelopment and letting it die its natural death and then going back and looking at the right allocation of our tax dollar is what I think we could all put our energies into positively rather than trying to fight one against another for what our part of the pie is.
I think we have found common ground here in the sense that I think the big gorilla that we haven't mentioned is really Prop 13 and how damage has that done, and really our tax system is composed of a number of things that we have accumulated over the years through ballot measures and individual initiatives, one on top of another one for individual interest, that we are expecting that all of this is going to work out. And in reality, what we might need is a constitutional convention to take a look at our entire system and make it work rather than what we have been doing for many, many years, which is a piecemeal approach.
We have an email about housing and redevelopment from Mary. She says, I watched redevelopment's corruption in Daly City. The city council also made themselves the redevelopment agencies. The public had no say in what their decisions were, even though we tried. Daly City's redevelopment agencies did not build to provide much needed affordable housing. Their definition of affordable was laughable. She says, two of their projects are unfinished as I email. One was a huge project that blocked the citizens' view of many citizens and reduce their property value. It was started 4 years ago. It's a huge office complex with a movie theater. Another project pushed out a company that was in Daly City for many, many years. I couldn't be happier that they're now being disbanded. Redevelopment money was used to fill budgets, and we, the public, find this outrageous. It was not used to improve cities in most instances, and especially in Daly City. So first, Carlos, does the public have much say in how this money was distributed?
Well, by law, it needs to be specifically used to the 80% portion to do projects, to do infrastructure improvements and improving specifically the redevelopment area, and the 20% to create affordable housing. Now, how it has been used or misused in other locations, I cannot speak about that because I'm sure that there must be cases, but I cannot talk about specifics. But it's like everything. Anything can be used or abused, but this is redevelopment. It's definitely a tool that has proven time and again a very useful tool for both producing affordable housing and improving minority communities and poor communities.
I think your speaker has a really good point, is that when city officials sit down with private developers to work out the agreements that underpin their coming into a community, the public isn't there. And the public doesn't know necessarily the kind of giveaways that happen as a result of those development agreements. So your caller is right. A lot of what goes on doesn't happen in the public eye, and that's where our contention that a lot of this money is used to subsidize private development, I think, has a lot of traction.
I mean, I don't deny that might happen. Of course, things that are inappropriate happen all over the world, but the law doesn't allow that. Any development agreement needs to be go through a public hearing, and all the discussion needs to happen in the public. Now, the people might not do that. I mean, you're not supposed to go and rob a bank, but people do.
All right. Well, thank you for the email. And let's go to our next caller, Gretchen in Alameda. Hi, Gretchen.
Hi, Marie. This is Rose. I mean, Rose.
Hi.
I'm a big critic of redevelopment, and I'm glad that it's going down. And I think some of the callers have referred to the issues, and that is that it's not democratic. The citizens are not involved in the planning or the voting. The bonds are voted by the city council that assumes a new role, or they can appoint somebody, but it's all done with a very small group, and they have in their hands the power to bond millions and millions of dollars, which they do. Now, you can get all these wonderful documents from the California Legislative Office. No more than 2% has been used in redevelopment bonding for affordable housing. They have not met their 20% quota, and that has been documented. And I would advise people to contact the Legislative Analyst's Office and get the documents, because you can see the use and abuse of redevelopment money. The problem has been, under the construction of the law, that some of the money being paid into taxes, which they call tax increment financing, should go to fund the schools and other public services. But that hasn't been enough. So the state has had to make up the difference. And that's what this is all about, because the difference has been close to $2 billion. $2 billion that could have been spent on something else, but the state is busy filling the cracks in because there is a Prop 98 educational budget requirement that has to be met. And so the redevelopment bonding hasn't even met its own goals. And I just look across at Oakland, and they were spending their redevelopment money on police, and the mayor's salary. I mean, it has just gotten way out of hand. And you know something? There's no place to go to complain about redevelopment in your town except to your local redevelopment agency. There was no state agency overseeing this whole process. So I'm afraid it was doomed to start with. And now, well, most little cities are holding huge bonded indebtedness for another 20, 30, 40 years out.
Well, thank you for calling in, Gretchen. We've got a number of people on the line, so we'll take a few more calls, and then we'll get responses. Let's hear from Gloria in Oakland. Hi, Gloria.
Hi there.
Hi, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I work in affordable housing, and I realize there are lots of concerns about abuses of redevelopment across the state, but I really do need to emphasize that San Francisco, Oakland, San Jose were really good actors. I think people don't realize that 20% of those funds, as Seamus mentioned, have to, by law, go to affordable housing. They may not also realize that every redevelopment agency has what's called a project area committee that's made up of the public, of ordinary citizens who weigh in on the uses of redevelopment. Any citizen can apply to be on one of those committees and can go in and watch those meetings. And I just think it's, there are things that need to be reformed, but it's unfortunate, as both Seamus and Emily mentioned, that we are pitting housing against other basic services. I mean, to say that, we need more funding for our schools, but really we have such a broken system when we're saying, would you rather produce funding for your kid to have a good home or for your kid to have a good school? It's really problematic. So I think there are things that obviously are going to change. The agencies are being dissolved. But I hope people will realize that, for one thing, in Oakland, at least 80 people are going to lose their jobs as a direct result of the loss of redevelopment. That's not good for anybody's economic development.
You know, and Gloria, 20% goes to affordable housing at a time when the rents, especially in places like San Francisco, are skyrocketing. What does this mean for affordable housing?
It's really dire. I work in the field, and I have to tell you, apart from city staff and possibly even nonprofit developers losing their jobs, perhaps even more importantly is that a lot of future affordable housing developments are simply going to be stopped in their tracks. It's going to be extremely difficult to find a replacement for the $1 billion that provides homes that working families, seniors, veterans, people with disabilities can afford to live in.
And that's, compounded with what's going on at the federal level as well. 45% cuts to the home program over the last 2 years. you know, other cuts at the federal level to programs for the disabled and the elderly, to the point where it's, you know, jeopardizing a lot of nonprofit developers. And, you know, I think as Gloria said, just the deals that are not going to happen, the homes that are not going to be built, and the people that are not going to have a safe place to live in California because of this. I mean, especially in a place like the Bay Area, which is so unaffordable for working families.
Something also that that is sad is that, well, just to talk about housing, housing provides approximately 70% of the gap financing, and that's what makes housing affordable. And that source of revenue might just disappear, and with it, affordable housing in California as we knew it. But the communities that are going to be most impacted are basically poor communities. Hillsborough is not going to be impacted. Atherton is not going to be impacted. Palo Alto is not going to be impacted. Those are why? Because those are communities that do not have blighted areas. Those are communities that do not have, as a result, redevelopment areas. So when we're talking about these resources being taken away, these resources are being taken away from the most, the communities that need it the most, from poor communities.
Let me just tell you that I agree with Palo Alto, because when they were considering forming a redevelopment agency, even they could not justify blight, but they tried. We have a community like Los Gatos that has a redevelopment agency, so I would really contend with the issue that the only place that 20% set aside happened was in poor communities. That's the whole problem with redevelopment. People were using it for things that weren't blight. But I do want to come back to something that I think we all agree on, which is we shouldn't have to choose between housing and education or basic services like police and fire. I think the thing that we should all be putting our energy into is putting a financing program in place at the state level and local level for affordable housing. I'm on the board of Destination Home, which in Santa Clara County is committed to providing 1,000 homes for chronically homeless. No one is more aware than I am of the dire need for affordable housing in our county. But that doesn't change our position on the reallocation of the redevelopment dollars back to basic services.
All right. Well, thank you for those phone calls. And we have about 10 minutes left. So if you'd like to call in and weigh in on redevelopment, 400 redevelopment agencies are supposed to shut down tomorrow. What does that mean for the state? If you work for the city, we'd love to hear from you. If you've been affected by redevelopment, how has it affected your community, whether you're for it or against it? And what do you think about the issues that we're really dealing with here? Affordable housing, redevelopment was building schools, senior and community centers, libraries, roads, parking garages, plazas. So what do you think the solution is going forward? The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org, or better yet, post a comment at yourcallradio.org. We're joined by Carlos Martinez, director of the East Palo Alto Redevelopment Agency. He's been there for a decade. His job is now in limbo. Emily Harrison, deputy county executive for Santa Clara County. Santa Clara County was a party to the California Supreme Court case that upheld legislation to dissolve redevelopment agencies. And Seamus Roller is executive director of Housing California. He says this is a huge blow for anyone in the state that struggles to pay rent. And let's go to our next caller, Tina in San Francisco. Hi, Tina. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I was calling regarding the fact that, yeah, we're losing our redevelopment money, which I live in downtown San Francisco, and it has, you know, really lots of new improved housing that's come up in the last probably 20 years that helped out a lot of low-income people, but now we're losing that, and our school system doesn't seem to be getting the reward from it because our transitional K program has been cut, and the city has no intention of re-implementing it, even if the state does have a budget that includes money for the program, which is, I'm calling because my kids are supposed to be in it this year, and then they fall into that one-month gap, and they won't be able to go.
You know, that's an interesting point. In Santa Clara County, I don't want to get into the intricacies of school financing, but many of our districts, as a result of this decision are going to have enough money that they won't have to rely on the state anymore for deciding on what programs they're going to have or not have. They're going to be able to be what's called basic aid districts, which takes local control back to local school districts so that programs like the ones your caller was talking about will be a local decision rather than a state decision. So that's part of one of the benefits coming out of this whole reallocation of the tax dollars back to the local communities.
All right, thank you for calling in, Tina. Let's hear from Susan in Palo Alto. Hi, Susan. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. I have been driving through East Palo Alto for the last 12 to 15 years on and off to work. And I have to say that it has completely transformed for the better. It used to be a disaster. Whiskey Gulch was an utter embarrassment. You couldn't even drive the road without puncturing your tires. It was terrible. It is completely transformed. The main street, University Avenue, the side streets are the parks. They are kept up. They have been repaved. Trees have been planted. There is new housing. So I have to say, I don't know what the background is. I don't know what the politics is locally there. But it is really beautiful. Very different place from what it was 12, 15 years ago.
Well, thank you for calling in, Susan.
Thank you for that comment. Something else that you didn't mention and many people do not know is that, for example, in the Gateway 101 shopping center where IKEA is and Home Depot and many other big box retailers are, there are approximately 1,200 jobs, and 35% of those are allocated to East Palo Alto residents. So about 430 families have jobs in the Gable 101 shopping center. It has been a tremendous success. It brought banking to East Palo Alto. That's where people bank in East Palo Alto. It brought also the first full-size grocery store. So it brings not only the architectural beautification and the safety of the city. It also brings jobs and it brings basic services such as banking and a grocery store.
And I think it's important to sort of, to put faces on what's going on around this. In March Air Force Base in Moreno Valley near Riverside, they're going to have to scale back their plans to serve homeless veterans there because of the end of redevelopment. And I think, there's a lot of talk about what comes next, but I think we all know that in kind of the constrained fiscal environment, the likelihood of getting through a grand new plan is pretty difficult. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, we lose a great deal as a result of that. And, I think we're trying to push Senate Bill 654 to try and preserve some of the money that's there for affordable housing, but that's being held up right now by Senate Minority Leader Huff. And, I think it's a real challenge to think about that next phase and what that looks like.
So, but what are some of the solutions here? Because the fact is we've got 400 offices that are supposed to shut their doors tomorrow, lots of jobs in limbo, lots of people losing their jobs. So what are some solutions here, Seamus?
I mean, we will be promoting a document recording fee bill that is a small fee on every time a home gets sold and will provide funding for affordable housing. We're pushing Senate Bill 654 to try and preserve some of the existing monies that are in the coffers and for redevelopment and their housing funds to make sure that those continue to flow out to development projects. And then I think we need to look at the new phase of redevelopment, one that is more tightly focused, that has a stronger focus on serving those people who are struggling the most, and really is more focused on promoting infill development. And, there's a number of proposals floating out there. But, I think to go back to the beginning, we also really need to look at the real governance challenges in California and tax reform in California and raising more revenue.
Yeah, it always comes down to revenue. What are your thoughts on this, Carlos? What are the solutions here?
Definitely there are ways to reform the development. But again, as Seamus was saying, I think that's the bottom line. The bottom line is to take a look comprehensively at how California services are provided, but for redevelopment specifically.
And sorry to cut you off, we only have 2 minutes left, but as someone who has seen the improvements in a place like East Palo Alto, I mean, let's face it, there aren't that many resources for people who are poor in East Palo Alto, right? What are your solutions for revenue? What would you like to see? What changes? Are you backing the tax propositions on the ballot in November?
Definitely. That would bring additional resources. However, for poor communities, there is no other source right now as redevelopment. Mm-hmm. If you go out and try to form an assessment district, that wouldn't be viable for property owners.
So what happens to poor communities without redevelopment agencies?
That is a big question that for which I have no answer. But, well, this is the gift that we received from the same governor, Prop 13, and now the dissolution of the agencies.
What happens to your job?
Well, that is really not very relevant in this conversation. It's not to say that jobs are not important. However, the real impact is what the dissolution of redevelopment agencies' impact will be on poor communities and communities in California in general, and what the impact will be in affordable housing. That's the real challenge.
And Emily, final thoughts, 30 seconds.
I don't think we're in favor of trying to find redevelopment 2.0 as they talk about it. It's a tool whose time is finished. I think we all need to focus our thoughts on how do we put together stable financing for key programs. And I agree, housing, affordable housing is a key program, as are police and fire and educating our children.
Well, we will definitely continue to follow this. Emily Harrison, Carlos Martinez, and Seamus Roller, thank you all for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call. Thanks for listening.
Matt Martin, general manager of KALW, joining Rose here in the studio, asking for your support in the penultimate day of our January membership campaign. We are just $34,000 away from our goal, and your call at 800-525-9917 will keep the real information and the conversation that happens every day here on Your Call going, and everything else you hear on KALW, local, national, global information, as well as music and the arts. That's the diversity of programming you support. You call 800-525-9917 or go online like so many people have this morning to KALW.org.
800-525-9917. And this is my last day on the air for this pledge drive because Holly Kernan will be here tomorrow. So give us a call and support local independent radio. We face so many challenges, education, the economy, the environment. We went over a bunch of them today. But we also on this show, one of my goals is to really focus on solutions. So support that kind of radio. 800-525-9917. You can also go online to KALW.org. We've got a completely different kind of opportunity here on KALW to have a much deeper conversation and to bring on such a wide range of voices. Some of these people have never been on the radio before, but we like to take a chance and bring on voices you haven't heard. Support that kind of media. 800-525-9917.
800-525-9917. This information, these conversations are here because you've said, you know, it doesn't always have to be sexy. It doesn't always have to be fun. It needs to be important. These need to be conversations that are about us together making a better community, making a better world. It sounds very high-minded and idealistic, but let's face it, if we don't have media like this, it ain't going to happen. Together, 800-525-9917, we can push toward this goal and keep KALW strong.
800-525-9917, and if we didn't think that was possible, we probably couldn't do this work. Speaking from my own experience, 800-525-9917. We are independent. We focus on so many important issues, whether it's talking about reproductive rights or the military and military spending. Where's the waste? Taxes, the truth about taxes. Support that kind of radio. 800-525-9917. I'm excited about Friday's show. We'll be talking with Michael Hastings, who wrote the Rolling Stone article that cost General Stanley McChrystal his job. Fascinating story about what goes on in the military. 800-525-9917 or online, KALW.org. Thank you.